CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty is calling it quits after a third place showing in the Iowa straw poll. He tells ABC's This Week why he entered the presidential race in the first place.
I believe in this country. I love this country. I believe I can make a contribution to it. I thought I would have been a great president. But obviously that pathway for now isn't there.
CNN's Candy Crowley reports money was a major issue for Pawlenty.
It's a long haul, and at some point you kind of have to look at what people around you are saying. And if your donors are beginning to balk, people want to back a winner.
So what is the Iowa straw poll winner saying this morning? Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann tells CNN that keeping taxes low is a message people want to hear.
I haven't gone one place in Iowa or South Carolina or New Hampshire where anyone has said, please raise my taxes. They aren't high enough already. Never happened.
Texas Congressman Ron Paul placed second in the Iowa poll. The death toll in last night's stage collapse at the Indiana State Fair has risen to at least five. State Police Sergeant Dave Burston says Mother Nature clearly was a factor.
In Indiana, the weather can change from one report to another report, and that was the case here. And it really wasn't the issue of the weather as it was with the high gust of wind.
Eyewitnesses say a wind gust blew down the stage scaffolding onto the crowd, trapping dozens of people underneath. Bridge inspectors say it wasn't the bridge, but the railing that rained down on an Atlanta freeway last night, closing down Interstate 75 and 85. The downtown freeway was closed for hours. A hotel bombing in Pakistan killed at least a dozen people and wounded 14 others today. Earlier, rockets struck a paramilitary training camp, killing three and wounding 25. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
I'm in the, I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business, business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us, business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's back to college. Time to learn about new things, like the fact that you can walk into a Walmart wireless center and walk out with a fully activated smartphone. Get the Sharp FX from AT&T, the HTC Wildfire S from T-Mobile, and the Samsung Continuum from Verizon. Just $28.88 each. Your new phone will work right away, which is more than we can say when you graduate with that art degree in glass blowing. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Prices with two-year new agreement or qualified two-year extension plan. Data plan required. Brand and assortment availability varies by location.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Hi, everybody. It's Nikki Nellis. We are without the Beast this morning, believe it or not. He is traveling today, so lucky, lucky me. I've got David Hagedorn, all-around foodie bon vivant, in with me today to talk about all the fabulous food things that are not just going on in and around the D.C. area, but here in studio. Hi, David.
Hello, darling.
Thank you for coming in.
It was so nice to hear David's voice on the intro for what will be his last appearance on your show.
Are you planning on taking his
Poor
place?
Poor thing. You know, we set that up so beautifully. He doesn't have a clue.
No, not a clue. He can't, and he can't hear us where he is, so he'll just have to find out. He'll get the pink slip.
He'll get it in the, read it in the papers like everybody else.
Exactly. I love it. So let's just talk about what you've been up to lately, because I know you've been chicken hunting.
I have been heading to chicken farms for my next source column in the Post.
Mm-hmm.
And I've discovered...
Explain what the source column is, for those of you who don't read it, which I can't imagine.
I can't imagine there's anybody out there who doesn't read it.
Right.
I find local purveyors of products, like lamb or eggs, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I write about them, and then I use their ingredient and develop recipes using their ingredient.
Delicious recipe.
Get to expose these lovely people doing wonderful things all over the, from Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, to our readers.
And so tell us about the chicken places. What are we looking forward to in this article?
Well, I discovered that not all chicken farms are made the same. And
really?
That what you find at farmers markets might not necessarily be what you think you're getting.
So do you mean, like, if we're talking about pastured raised? I mean, is that what we're working on?
They are pastured chickens, but some people, let's just say that some people are more enthusiastic and passionate about it than others, and that just because someone's selling a product at a farmer's market doesn't necessarily mean it's terrific.
Oh, I can't wait to read that article. All right. When's it coming out? Do we know?
It's coming out next Wednesday.
Excellent. All right. So everybody, keep your eyes out for that, and we're going to get into the show now. Perfect timing, because even though you weren't hunting chickens,
I might be hunting rabbits.
There you go.
From what I see in front of me today. I see all kinds of deliciousness, but actually it doesn't really have very much to do with rabbit itself. It has to do with lovely vegetables more than anything else I see. Is that right?
Yes, it is. So we've got owner Aaron Gordon and Chef Katsuya from Rabbit. They're in to talk about the new dining spot out in Clarendon. And later in the show, we'll be talking really heart healthy. We have Dr. Mike Fenster in. He's a cardiologist and the grassroots gourmet. He's going to talk about food and health, and he's going to help us live a little bit better. And lastly, Clarice Dionneau of L'Academy Cuisine is in. She's here to intro and provide details on L'Academy's new fall lineup of classes. But now, the best part of the show.
Yes, more importantly, Michael Scafidi is here, the wine director and sommelier from the Jefferson Hotel. And he is going to keep us flowing in the wine today.
Exactly. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. So let's start with you. Let's just get a little background. How long have you been at the Jefferson, and how long have you been pouring wine?
So I've been pouring wine for, almost 10 years now. And I've been at the Jefferson for about 3 years, and prior to the Jefferson, I was the director of beverage at the Greenbrier. Prior to that, I was at the French Laundry for around 3 years.
Not a shabby place.
And I'm born and raised in California, so I spent my whole life in California, and
okay.
I'm happy to be in D.C.
Excellent. So let's talk about a little bit about your position at the Jefferson, because you're not just at the restaurant, you're also in the hotel?
Absolutely. So I'm in charge of anything to do with wine, kind of whatever I can do to make people happy by pouring them a little bit of alcoholic grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, I believe we have the most wine in D.C. I'm not certain, but we have a little under 1,300 labels.
Mm-hmm.
We have 34 Madeiras by the glass. Our oldest by the glass goes back to the year 1780.
Has anybody ordered it?
Absolutely. Last night, someone had 3 glasses of it. So we have about a bottle and a half left.
Wow. I see you brought some today. I'm joking.
And what a perfect, dreary day to start drinking wine at 11 o'clock.
I totally agree.
Absolutely. If it's 9 o'clock, it's a great time to start drinking wine.
Right. Anytime's a good time.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what you brought in today.
So today I have a few different wines. I thought we're going into the tail end of summer, so I thought some wines that would be crisp and light and refreshing. And starting with fall, so some fall flavors we'd incorporate as well. So we have a wonderful Riesling. A lot of people think all Riesling is sweet.
I'm one of them. I hate Riesling.
Well, keep drinking. This Riesling is bone dry, delicious. The producer is Christmann, easily one of the greatest producers in Germany. And it's from the Pfalz, which is just adjacent to France. Known for a crisp, dry style. You close your eyes and you wouldn't think it's Riesling.
Okay, but everybody, we've had lots of people come on and, Hagedorn and I can both talk about this. We go to lots of press dinners, and people, I feel like sommeliers or wine directors always want to impress you with a Riesling. Why do people want you to try that wine? What would you say?
Well, I mean, I think first thing comes to mind, I think drinking Riesling makes you a better person.
Oh, I must be a terrible person. I am a terrible person.
Because it's lower in alcohol, goes great with a variety of food. You can have it with, if you love Indian food, if you love Chinese food, if you love Mexican food. It works with spices, it works with meats, it works with fish, and then you can have it dry, you can have it sweet.
So you're assuring us that Riesling is not, as I thought, German for re-gift.
Correct, Absolutely, absolutely. And there, okay. there are some awful Rieslings out there, but just like there's some wonderful Pinot Noirs, there's some also pretty horrible Pinot Noirs. So.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, why don't you pour that for us and our guests, and we are going to get into Aaron and Katsuya from Rabbit. So, okay, guys, thank you for coming in this morning, and thank you for bringing these beautiful salads. But I got to tell you, when you think of Rabbit, you think of lettuce and carrots. I mean, I get the name. But tell us about the concept, Aaron, and what inspired it.
Well, we wanted to come up with a completely new concept, a concept where you get a fantastic salad. Well, we actually, let me start by saying we call it a salad and grill.
Okay.
So while we do a predominant amount of salads, we do really focus a lot of our attention on the grill aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the, you know, things like the steak and potatoes salad, the seared tuna niçoise salad. But we also add nice sandwiches to that and mm-hmm. wonderful dinner plates. So a lot of the focus is right around the salad and grill aspect.
Well, what made you decide to add the grill aspect? I mean, clearly, listen, you're not new to the restaurant biz. You have the Red Velvet Cupcakeries and the Tangy Sweet.
Tangy Sweet frozen yogurt.
Frozen yogurt, yeah. Right? So, but this is a different jump from, you know, instead of just desserts and sweets, going to more mainstream eating. What was it that you felt was not out there that you wanted to provide?
Well, honestly, we had seen a lot of salad shops do very well, and they're great concepts, mm-hmm. absolutely great concepts. But they're very quick.
You don't want to do any slamming here? You don't want to
No, I'm not going to slam anyone. Okay. I'm not going to slam anyone.
No
but
fun.
I will say, okay, well, I'll do a little bit of slamming.
Okay, let's go.
some of the shops in town, I won't necessarily say who,
mm-hmm.
Are what I consider sort of a glorified salad bar.
Okay.
So what they do is just throw together a little bit of lettuce, throw together this and that. But mainly the protein, the meat that comes on them is very... not very inspiring.
It's secondary. It's not what they're focused on.
It's secondary. A lot of it comes from a vendor, comes off of a Cisco truck or something like that.
Yuck. So these are more savory greens than sweet greens.
Oh, there we go. Okay, we were able to slam a few people.
I don't know. I'm just asking a question.
It was a good question.
No, he's absolutely right. And great concepts such as sweet green and chopped, and even another one called tossed. Do put together wonderful
which
salads.
I have to say, you know, I just can't get behind that name. But anyway, go on.
No,
the toss
is not the
whatever.
Best one at all. So what we really wanted to do
tell us how you really feel. Tell us how you really feel.
Great product. The name, okay.
Anyway, I do love their products. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to make something a little bit more elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And really focusing on two things. First of all, the proteins. So putting on some really made-to-order or grilled-to-order proteins
mm-hmm.
From our steak to our tuna to the chicken to even our tofu, crusted tofu, et cetera. And the second thing was rather than focusing on sort of choose-your-own-adventure, as I call it, choose-your-own-salad, put together this green with that carrot, we really wanted to make chef-crafted salads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we brought on the great chef, Katsuya Fukushima.
Well, that's a perfect segue for my next question, because I was going to ask how the two of you hooked up.
Well, we actually hooked up through a
never
mutual...
never hooked up. Get that clear.
I was going to go there, but in a fit of benevolence,
right.
I decided not to, but okay.
Katsuya's a good-looking guy, but my girlfriend Melina is right here in the studio, so she would have been upset.
Hi. She's watching you. She's watching you.
Yeah, she watches
listen, he's cute, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
and he's got a bad rap around town.
Oh, I'm
different
not
show.
Sure.
Which is a good rap.
Well, actually, how we got together was that I was working with a few people on the actual design of the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Our architect, Herb Heiserman,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, asking about different chefs who could come in and help consult with us, who had a little bit of time or had just, you know, recently gotten off a job, but could do two things. First of all, make an incredible salad,
mm-hmm.
Had worked at sort of a high-end restaurant, but could also meld their style together with something that could be in a quick or a fast gourmet environment. So could make quick salads that were still fantastic. And Katsuya was the perfect guy for that.
Well, let me ask you, Kats. So, you know, you're known around town as the guy behind the mini bar. I mean, you were there for years.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you jump from doing something like molecular gastronomy over to doing salads? I mean, how do you feel like those combined?
You know, it's just... for me, good food is good food, whether it's manipulated to a point where, you know, it's kind of artistic and unrecognizable. But, you know, good food is good food. I mean, keeping with the true nature of food, like salads, it was a very refreshing way of cooking for me.
So did you have fun? I mean, were you like, oh, I can mix all these things together? I mean, what? How did you come up with your salads? What did you decide as you were playing?
You know, Aaron wanted certain things, and, you know, I had spent a lot of time with Aaron just trying to pick his brain about what he was looking for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've worked at several restaurants in town and worked with a lot of great chefs and learned a lot of new techniques and old techniques. So it was just a kind of going back to real cooking and wholesome cooking, and and you know, that was the inspiration. I mean, using Aaron and also with what I knew and simple ingredients, but making it the highlight opposed to, you know, making foie gras a highlight of a dish is easy.
Right,
but making a carrot a highlight of a dish is not easy.
Not as easy?
Right.
Well, so let's talk about your products. I mean, are we sourcing from specific areas? And are you working with the kind of product that, you know, makes you excited or enthusiastic? I mean, these do not look like the salads that you find at other, like, salad
right.
places.
Right, these look like salad composé.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
Are really hard to work. Nikki, we complain about this all the time
we
when we go out to lunch. It's hard
we
to find these salads in restaurants these days. You just want a good salad.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, and I don't mean something that's tossed in a big bowl like you
a Caesar salad with chicken, a Caesar salad with salmon,
and served on a real plate.
Right, exactly. No, it's hard
to find.
Well,
that's right, and that's exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to make restaurant quality or above restaurant quality, or, you know, the finest restaurants in the city. We wanted to make salads that were above them that could be made in, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. Something that you could either grab for a quick lunch and take back to your office, or something where you could actually sit back and have a nice dinner, have a nice date, and drink a glass of wine or a beer. And I think we did that. I think we created those great salads that you can get
very quickly.
You serve
wine and beer?
We do serve wine and beer. Actually, I consider us much more of a dinner-centric salad and grill restaurant because they're such fine salads, and because you can. It's a very beautiful, relaxed environment at the store. And just sitting back for with a nice beer from our friends at, let's see, Chasing Rhino, or a nice glass of wine just makes it a really fun experience.
Okay, we have to take a quick break. Just answer this one quick question. How many seats?
There are 60 seats inside, and there are going to be another 15 seats outside. We just opened last week, so we're waiting on that permit.
Excellent. Okay. All right, this is Nikki Nellis and David Hagedorn with Foodie and the Beast. I almost messed that up, but we had to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'm going to announce that I actually like Riesling for the first time.
I know. It's a great breakfast wine.
Right. We'll be back in just a sec.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities. Like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Sometimes I worry about what would happen to my family if I lost my job, but I never really thought about what would happen to them if they lost me. And I didn't have life insurance. My cousin's husband died, and now she might have to sell her house just to make ends meet. I don't ever want to put my wife through that. So I called Matrix Direct.
Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. If you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $16 a month. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-588-5514.
I feel so much better now that I called.
It only takes 5 minutes to see how you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-588-5514. 1-800-588-5514.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis. I have guest host with me today, David Hagedorn, and we are looking at a plate of beautiful red velvet cupcakes. We're drinking a little Riesling, and we have the guys from Rabbit in studio with us. Guys, tell us about the salads that you made today so people can understand when we say composed salad what you're talking about.
Well, composed salads for me is something that it's delicately, you know, it's not just thrown in a bowl, tossed with dressing, and piled on a plate. It's there's some kind of execution involved and plating involved where it actually looks good,
right,
and it tastes good.
Well, tell us about these two salads. Like, what are their names, and give us a quick overview of what's in them.
That one's Bob.
Initially, I mean, I was talking to Aaron. We wanted to do some salads that were recognizable in name, and so we didn't want to freak people out with some crazy new salads. But so that one over there is a Niçoise salad, you know, classic Niçoise.
But I know, but it's really beautiful. I mean, that's one of the prettiest Niçoises I've seen in a long time.
I mean, and highlighting the fresh tuna that we grill. And it's not like grilled in the morning. It's grilled at the moment. And
so it's fresh.
Yes, very fresh. And you can see it's medium rare and delicious. And then the next one over is the rabbit salad. You know, Aaron wanted something that's kind of like signature to the place. And so this is our first, I mean, attempt at, it's not an attempt, but it's a volume one of rabbit.
Because it's seasonal or what?
It's going to change. I would like to see it transform into a different salad, you know, here and there. But this one, like I said before, we wanted to highlight vegetables, and it's full of vegetables. It's, you know, peas and carrots go great together. So there's peas, snow peas, and carrots are in different forms. There's roasted baby carrots, little ribbons of carrots, there's diced carrots.
And what's the dressing?
And the dressing is very, it's a citrus dressing, but there's also, there's green on the bottom. We got these beautiful carrots, baby carrots with the tops. And most people throw away the tops.
Right, what'd you do with it?
We made a pesto out of the top.
And really?
Yeah, so we blanched the pesto.
Okay, pass that over, I want to taste it. I've never seen that before.
So you can just stick your finger
that's what I'm gonna do.
In the green part. And you know, it has pine nuts and has the carrot tops and cheese.
So that must be packed with vitamins, right? Carrot tops?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, maybe?
It's bitter.
Duck?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, those rabbits good, right?
All right. Well, just quickly, because we do have to wrap up. The cupcakes. You're serving cupcakes at Rabbit, yes?
Yes, that's right. We have a red velvet. We have a red velvet shop downtown. We also put it in a red velvet counter, if you will, inside Rabbit. They're fantastic. Much similar to what we did with Katsuya, we had a great chef, David Gloss, come in and design our cupcakes. And this right here is our red signature red velvet cupcake.
Sure.
It's a whipped cream cheese frosting.
Calling your name, David Hagedorn?
Oh, you know, this area.
You're just pushers. You're pushers. That's what it's. It's very cruel. I'm just waiting for Katsuya to turn them into red velvet powder.
I think we're going to end up putting them on the rabbit salad at some point.
Oh, I made a great sandwich the other day, but I'll talk about that.
Off air. Okay, so we do have to wrap up. So quickly, please tell everybody where they can find Rabbit.
Rabbit's easy, very easy to find. We're right on Clarendon Boulevard. We're about a half a block from the Clarendon Metro in downtown Clarendon. And you can come in for our signature salads, sandwiches, or cupcakes.
And carrot juice, which we didn't get into.
And carrot juice.
Katz, it would be totally wrong of me not to mention that you are going to be part of a new venture, not for a little bit, but can you just tell us quickly about that?
Yeah, I got approached by friends of mine, Daisuke and Yama.
Of Sushi Co.
Sushi Co. and AT Street Lounge. And it's been this ongoing discussion for about a year and a half. And finally it's happening. And it's out in the public. And
well, let's get... Come on, give it out. Don't make me pull it out. Let's hear it.
It's going to be a small two-floor restaurant and ramen on the first floor. And then modern and traditional Japanese food upstairs.
Fabulous. Yum. All right. And it's
uncommon
called,
ramen.
It's called Daikaya.
Daikaya. Excellent.
Can't wait.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for coming in today and bringing these beautiful salads.
Thank you very much.
Michael, we're going to come back over to you. So I really did like the Riesling.
Wonderful.
It was really tasty and very good. Tell us a little bit about some of the other things that you're pouring in the restaurant.
Absolutely. So we have a little over 200 different half bottles, I think, which gives guests a great opportunity. You might have someone who says, you know what, I love Riesling. And I want to drink a good, healthy couple glasses. And someone says, you know, I don't like that. I only drink red wine.
Right.
So we can do that. You can come by and you can have a half bottle of white and a half bottle of red. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to have the tasting menu, you could have 7 half bottles. So whatever you
want. We've discussed half bottles on the show a little bit. And I feel like it's a new, I know they've always been around, but I feel like more and more people are becoming amenable to it. Are you seeing that more?
I think so. You know, we sell a healthy amount of half bottles. I think it's more of a West Coast thing as well.
Really?
Than I've seen on the East Coast.
Okay. So it's like West Coast versus East Coast here.
A little bit.
Like,
so
getting down. Now, you did not bring any half bottles today. Tell us what the next bottle is.
So the next bottle of wine, I like to think of it kind of like the Jack Johnson of Sauvignon Blanc. Kind of makes you think about relaxing on the beach, something crisp. It's refreshing.
Okay. You got to stay in front of the mic while you talk.
So this is a Tyler Sauvignon Blanc, 2010. It's from Santa Ynez Valley, which is right in the heart of Santa Barbara.
I've been to Santa Ynez Valley. It's beautiful.
I think the best weather in the country by far.
Uh-huh. That's great. All right. Well, while you're pouring, we are bringing in our next guest, and I'm going to let David Hagedorn introduce him.
Dr. Mike Fenster, the Grassroots Gourmet. How are you?
I am doing great now that I have a breakfast wine myself.
See, even the doctor likes a glass of wine.
Is always 5 o'clock somewhere.
In the notes, Nikki says, "I'm the chef that's had a heart attack," which is like, well, I love that. I think I'll put that on my business card. So I do know a little bit of where you're coming from, but I also see you're a martial arts expert and a real chef and a real doctor. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I think for like most people who get involved in food, I got involved very young, a lot of influence from my mom. I used to play hooky. So back in the day, I'm giving away my age now. We would watch, I could stay home and watch The Galloping Gourmet and Julia Child on TV. And then miraculously, I'd be feeling a whole lot better in the afternoon and we'd go in the kitchen and cook, you know, what they were doing there.
Where are you from originally?
I was actually born in South Bronx, New York City. But I've spent a lot of time
accent
in the South.
Accent is completely gone.
Yeah. I've spent a lot of time in the South, y'all. So.
Right.
So I've learned how to make a mean barbecue.
Excellent. So, but which did you do first, cardiologist or chef?
Actually, cooked professionally first. I started as a dishwasher, making some money, trying to get through college, etc. And, you know, back then you didn't need a fancy culinary degree to get in the back of a decent restaurant. So I started as a dishwasher, did a line cook, kind of worked my way up to running the back of the house. Then from there I went on and went to medical school, but continued to be, you know, cook and be involved, and eventually went back and got a degree in gourmet cooking.
You know, our paths are exactly the same. Well, except for the cardiology part.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, so let me ask you, how do you combine your love of cooking with your doctor profession? I mean, how do you combine the two together so that, I mean, because you're not always eating healthy.
Well, you know, I think that's part of what I'd like to dispel is the fact that we say, well, we eat healthy, and immediately we think, gosh, all I can have is, you know, tree bark, raw vegetables, small pebbles.
Carrots,
you know,
and
stuff
peas,
like,
perhaps. Carrots and peas.
And there's a great example of delicious carrots and peas.
I know,
but
it's gorgeous.
But things you can eat healthy, and it can be absolutely delicious, and you can eat things like red meat in moderation. Foie gras, believe it or not. Foie gras is an incredibly healthy food.
It's full of B vitamins, right?
Well, it's actually 75% oleic acid, which is olive oil.
Oh.
And when the French did a study, I think you're probably familiar with the French paradox, which was done, I think, probably about 10, 15 years ago. And it showed that these people in France were doing all the things that in the United States we were saying don't do.
Right. Butter,
and
bread.
They were, butter, bread, wine. Cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, they smoked, they didn't exercise. Yet they were having half the cardiovascular event rates as men in the United States.
Right.
Well, the healthiest place in France was the place where they ate insane, Toulouse region, Gascony region, and they eat insane amounts of foie gras. And the author of the study, Dr. Rene, said, well, you know, if you look at it, it's 75% oleic acid. So it's just olive oil. That's more common with olive oil than saturated fat. So there's, you know, a way to eat something delicious like foie gras, which I love, and it's a healthy food. I think one of the keys for me and some of the research and things I've looked at is really, you know, staying away from a lot of the processed foods.
Right.
Right.
You know, I think.
But I think we're hearing that more and more. I mean, you know, for David and my world, you know, David writes for the Washington Post about food and eating in general. And I just think with all the farmers markets and just they call it elitist foodism, but I do feel like it is trickling down. More and more people are just saying, cut out those processed foods.
I think, you know, to me, it brings to mind the law of unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You start taking things out of food, you start putting things in, and even in minuscule amounts, we still are very unaware of what the cumulative effects are. I mean, there are compounds in food we don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take every person's body. We're all individuals, and we have individual physiology, although mm-hmm. we follow general rules. And then you try to predict how this compound or that compound in the food is going to interact with your body, but the compounds themselves interact. So it's right. it's a bit like chaos theory trying to predict the effects.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they say, well, this preservative is safe, well, yeah, but is it safe when it's in 75% of the food you eat? And then there's a cumulative dose. I mean, you know, the Grand Canyon didn't happen overnight.
Right.
It wasn't one flood, but over a year. So over the span of our life, what is the effect of all these sort of things on us? When we look back at diets from earlier times, what we find is that what's missing in the medical record is a lot of what we call chronic inflammatory disease, which is diabetes and things like that. And of course, diabetes and even atherosclerosis or coronary artery disease, cardiovascular disease, has its basis as an inflammatory process.
And one thing that's missing from the equation about trying to paint these foods of farmers market as expensive and elitist is the cost of the health costs of eating badly, of
right.
eating those processed foods, and how much actually we would save in the economy if we were eating these foods you buy from farmers markets, maybe
buy
paying
less,
a little more
healthier.
For them. Right.
Well, you know, everybody knows doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, but
right.
Hippocrates also said, let thy food be thy medicine and thy medicine thy food.
Right.
And really, when you're going into the farmers market and you're getting, you know, these very natural, more healthy choices, like, again, we talk about red meat.
Mm-hmm.
If you let cows do what cows are supposed to do, which
grass
is like
fed.
Grass-fed, and they kind of like a walk around.
Right.
What you find is that the profile of fats changes
mm-hmm.
and becomes much more like game and becomes very lean and starts to have omega-3s, which are the same reason your
right.
cardiologist says, hey, have a salmon instead of red meat. Well, it's because it has those sorts of things.
Okay, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Mike here about eating healthy, and we're going to drink a little bit more wine. And then, even though Mike did not get a degree in cooking, we are going to talk about how you can get a degree in cooking.
Oh, actually, I have a degree.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
oh,
yes,
my God, you said you did. That's
yeah,
smart.
We did. Okay.
Well, Academy de Cuisine
That's
is
what he
in.
Got first.
And
we're going to get another one.
We're going to get another one. We'll be back in just a sec.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
The Bethesda Central Farm Market, you guys, is awesome. They close off Elm Street in Bethesda every Sunday from 9 to 1. They've got 40-plus vendors with everything from local organic produce and meats and poultry and breads and coffee and chocolate and olive oils and cheeses and more. It's really unbelievable, and it's free parking, which I really love because, you know, I'm cheap. So go and check it out because we go there every week. We get fresh fruit and veggies and berries from Twin Springs Farms, a lot of great organic produce from Bending Bridge Farm. The guys at Walnut Hill have free-range eggs. There's cheese from Cowgirl Creamery. We always stop into Poupon Authentic French Bakery and also Upper Crust Real Hearth-Baked European Breads. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's an amazing assortment of vendors. So go to Bethesda Central Farm Market every Sunday from 9 to 1 in Bethesda on Elm Street. They close the street off so it's easy walking around. And if you want to know more, go to BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com. If Foodie and the Beast tell you to go, it's good.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe, and I'm not wearing my jeans right now. In fact, I'm not wearing any pants at all, but more on that later. Did you know that 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetimes? As the celebrity ambassador of Lee National Denim Day, it's my job to let you know that you could help us change that number by donating what you normally spend on a pair of jeans. All you have to do is go to denimday.com, enter an amount, and click donate. It's that easy. And look at that, we're out of time. Looks like you'll just have to go to denimday.com to find out why I'm half naked.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis. I have guest host David Hagedorn in with me, and we are talking with Dr. Mike Fenster. He is talking about how to eat healthy and drink healthy, too. We started a little bit talking about how you can drink healthy off air. So what do you think about drinking some red wine? I mean, red wine gets all the props these days.
It does, but really there's a benefit to any kind of wine. Red wine's been looked at in most studies sort of more intensely, and it kind of gets the press, but any wine is good. And in moderation, and look, depending on the studies you look at, somewhere between 1 to 3 glasses a day mm-hmm. has been shown to have incredible benefits in reducing your risk of cardiovascular disease.
Really?
So yeah. So if you're gonna go out and you know go one place and have some wine, or go down to Jefferson have some, just jog, you know, between bars.
So between,
get a little cardiovascular
between
fitness.
Wine as a beverage and foie gras as a beverage. I think
right,
you're
right, right. Puree de foie gras.
I think you just covered all of those bases there.
Well, no. Doctor, let me ask you, you talk about the 3 B's. Mm-hmm. What is that your sort of mantra on how to live healthy?
Yeah, what I see a lot, and I'd like to kind of get your opinion, but what I see a lot kind of in the food world is these extremes. And it seems like you have people telling you your only, you know, path to salvation is through deprivation. You know, don't eat this, don't have that. If it tastes good, spit it out. And then on the other hand, you have sort of this excess, mm-hmm. Huge plates just full of lots of stuff.
Gluttony.
And there's no kind of moderation in between. Mm-hmm. And so my martial arts background has kind of a lot of Eastern influence. That's the story of the Buddha. I mean, he was a prince who lived a life of excess and said, this is not the way to enlightenment. And then he became an ascetic, and he lived on a grain of rice a day and almost died. He said, you know, there's no salvation, deprivation. In the middle way lies enlightenment. So mm-hmm. I'm like a culinary Buddha searching for Epicurean enlightenment. And right. I think it's kind of in that middle road. And this is kind of a guideline, 3 easy things people can remember when they're out there. So it's the path of the 3 B's. You know, be aware and avoid the call of junk food, processed food. We want to stay away from, and when people, you know, go to these places and they sit down and they say, well, I'm going to get this pre-done salad. Unlike the fresh stuff that Aaron was talking about, mm-hmm. and the food's assembled for them. You know, it's not a chef doing stuff with fresh food. It's just assembled, and it's all processed and altered. You know, we want to stay away from that as well as a bag of chips.
Right.
The second, you know, be fresh. I would talk about, but as the 7th commandment tells us, no adultery. And right. to me, that just means food. You know, so stay away from your adulterated food. And then the third is be on time and in proportion. The proportions on our plate is often a very ignored factor in trying to eat healthy. You can eat delicious things. Have a slice of pie. Just don't mm-hmm. have the whole pie. If you're going to sit down and have dinner, if you have a little appetizer, it takes your stomach about 15 to 20 minutes to let your brain know that you've started to eat. That's a survival mechanism from 50,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can have a little appetizer, you'll be satisfied with less of a main course, which means you can have a 4-ounce steak and enjoy it and feel good about it.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people eat with their eyes. You know, they think,
absolutely.
If I have a big plate of food, I'm going to be satiated. You know, and when a little plate of food comes in, they think, oh my God, I'm going to be hungry after this.
Well, I think we're starting, in this country, we kind of confuse value. And we mm-hmm. think that right. quantity is value.
Exactly.
And we forget about quality of value.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that in my MBA class.
Well, and that's absolutely true. How often do you ask people if a restaurant was good and they say, oh, it's terrific, the portions were huge?
Right.
Yeah, well,
in our language, I would never say that, but okay.
In our language, when supersize has become an accepted verb, there's a problem.
You mean like the trendy
right.
coffee at Starbucks?
It's oh, yes.
It's their form of the big gulp. It's enormous.
And what used to be a small drink is now a taste.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Very true. Well, listen, we really appreciate you coming in today. Thank you so much.
I have enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
How can people find you, and where can they find what you're doing?
They can find our website. I have a little blog that I put stuff up on. It's www.whatscookingwithdoc, one word.
Mm-hmm.
So they can find us there. And we've got a book coming out in January 2012 called Eating Well, Living
Excellent.
Better.
Excellent. Well, good for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Mike. What did you pour for us? Is this really heart healthy? Because it doesn't taste like it should be.
It's like
lush
that. No,
and lovely.
This is a Rendario, the Town Crier. It's 100% Syrah from the Central Coast to California.
Mm-hmm.
Great value wine. At the same time, it's a small production wine, which you don't often hear. So this is like the farmer's market of Syrah from California.
Really?
And I think he's a rock star. He does a beautiful job with wine.
Because sometimes Syrah can be really... like juicy, you know, like you feel like it's making your teeth turn red. You know, sometimes they
absolutely, you know, and
this does not have that quality.
No, this is kind of like fresh picked blackberries, a little bit of spice, long finish.
Mm-hmm. So, how many bottles do they produce?
You know, I'm not certain how many bottles, but I think he did maybe 200-300 cases.
Okay.
You figure most people need to make between 2,000 to 4,000 cases just to stay alive.
Right.
So,
I have a David Nellis question.
Okay, go ahead.
Que sera sera.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, look, you made the camera crew laugh. You don't know. David Nellis is my husband, who's normally the host, and he asks the dumb questions. So.
I did not say that.
All right. So thank you for pouring this. What is the last pour of the day for you?
Ah, the last pour of the day, we're going to do a little Brunello di Montalcino.
Ooh,
2004 Reserve.
Yum. Thank you.
And this is more of a just because we can.
Okay.
Because it's delicious.
Yes,
we should
we
be
can.
Drinking it.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you. While you're pouring that, we are going to bring in our next guest, Clarice Dionneau from l'Académie de Cuisine. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And
before we
get into all my questions, I need to know, that's not just cut up watermelon. Will you please tell us what that is?
No, it's not just cut up watermelon. It is called Tipsy Watermelon Salad.
Okay.
I got it out of Virginia Willis's book.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little play on it, though. It is... It's the watermelon. I melon balled it out. I hollowed out the actual watermelon, so it's the bowl that you presented in. The watermelon has been soaking in Pinnacle whipped vodka, lemon juice, creme de cassis, and that's it.
Well, it tastes really good. You should grab one of
those. I'm about to stick my face in that.
Go ahead.
Are you kidding?
It's delicious.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely delicious. Okay, well, so for those, even though we've had different people from l'Académie de Cuisine on over the last 3 years... For those who haven't heard, give us a little 411 on l'Académie.
Well, l'Académie is it's the nation's, it's the DC's premier culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
We've been around for 35 years. We are in our 35th year. My father, Francois Dionneau, started it 35 years ago in the location. It is in Bethesda. Bethesda just underwent a year-long renovation project that I oversaw. It is now open. We added one more hands-on kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two hands-on...
So it's still in the old Bethesda space, and you just renovated the whole space?
We did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Back in 94, the professional programs moved to Gaithersburg, so we do have two locations.
Mm-hmm.
The Bethesda's just solely for home cooks.
Okay, so this is for people who just love to cook, want to have a class. So tell us a little bit about the offerings that you have in Bethesda.
We have a ton of offerings. Right now, we are about to put out our fall schedule, which covers September through December.
Mm-hmm. When does that come out?
It is being, the print version will probably come out in about a week and a half, two weeks. And it will gradually be put online this week.
Excellent.
So
okay,
September will start, and then you'll see the rest of the months.
Okay.
We always have technique-driven classes.
Mm-hmm.
That's never gone away. Everybody always wants to know the techniques behind cooking.
As well they should.
Yes, right. Exactly. Well, it helps when you're in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, knife class, like, how to use a knife. Like, is that one of your biggest classes still?
Basic knife skills is probably still our number one sellout.
I bet.
Yeah.
Also as it should be.
Right. Yes. How many people have cut their fingers? Right? Okay, we got a hand raised in studio. Okay, there you go.
Typically in all of our classes, regardless of whether it's technique-based or not, you will learn the techniques needed to cover the menu that you will be learning.
Which means not using the fickle finger of fate on the knife.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Over the knife. Curl those fingers around the handle of the knife.
That's right. Okay, so what about some of these other classes that you're doing?
Right now, because we're coming into the fall and the holidays are fast approaching, even though it doesn't seem like it, they are. We have a lot of entertaining and holiday classes, a lot of baking and pastry classes that'll come out.
Mm-hmm.
And our normal favorites, the knife skills, our technique classes, date night, couple classes.
Well, I want to hear more about date night and couple classes because that sounds like such a fun and interesting way to spend an evening not just with somebody you're either dating or your spouse, but even with a couple of couples. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a fun way to do an evening. So can you walk us through a class a little bit?
Typically, it's either a Friday or Saturday night. This is a class where you are guaranteed you all will be working in pairs. And the couple, whether it's best friends, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, will work together to accomplish the entire menu. And it's usually Some of them are themed, either for the season or it's just a base menu. Usually it's entertaining, something that's not in technically in advanced, or involved, but something that the pair can accomplish together.
Okay.
Barbara Cullen is actually, she teaches
she's
date
right
night and
you.
She's right here. She just taught a date night last night, and she said it went extremely well. And it is. It's quite dynamic when you see couples together when they work.
Is there a lot of yelling? Is there a lot of like, no, you're doing it wrong?
Not really. The couples really work together well.
Okay. My husband and I haven't been in yet, so perhaps
every once in a while there's a little tug of war. Somebody wants to do something. Yeah.
Okay.
So you could also offer a divorce night too.
Right, divorce night would be fun. I would love to see the knife class on that one.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to keep knives out of that one.
So let's just talk a little bit about some of these other classes. Like when you talk about entertaining, and I think, David, this is perfect for you because you used to do the entertaining
yes,
column.
Yes, I should be teaching there.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
That's
maybe
one of my,
have a little love connection.
This is
let's
one of
talk.
My big, I, let's talk, mm-hmm. because this is one of my big things is about to teach people how to be with their guests and not in the kitchen the whole time, how to prepare everything ahead of time. And what the readers always wanted to know about more than anything else in my real entertaining column was how to get the timing right.
Yes.
And do people ask that of you? I would have to imagine that's a huge question.
Yeah. Typically, overall, time management is brought into the classroom. You have to know when to start a dish to make sure that it's ready on time. A lot of our entertaining classes are usually recipes that you can do ahead, or you can prep a majority of it ahead of time. That saves time. It also teaches people what ingredients you can do that with and what ingredients you can't.
Right.
Well, because I think that's a big fear with people. They're afraid when they're entertaining in their homes, even if they're decent cooks, that if they're not doing it at the when it's time, that the dish will somehow not present as well.
No, and actually there are some things that you want to do ahead of time because they will be better.
Exactly.
You know, the watermelon salad, I started that last night because it sits and it marinates. And it becomes better. And the ingredients then have more time to meld together and actually come through. And that way it's a combination of everything together, which is the way it's supposed to taste, as opposed to you taste one ingredient and then you taste another ingredient. And then,
layered.
Right. The dessert should be a no-brainer. That should be done the day before. And it's then you don't have to worry about it, and it's done. So you know at least the meal's going to end well.
Right.
And that's
always
good.
Or you just give them lots
thing.
Of wine, right?
Or you go to the wine.
Another excellent tip. Serve lots of wine.
I have to also say, Nick, that every restaurant in town owes a debt of gratitude to L'Académie because from my chef days, all of our externs always came from L'Académie de Cuisine. And there's some terrific people there. It's, hey, that would make a good story. Maybe I should pitch that.
There we go. Yeah,
and a majority of our instructors are graduates.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and I also know, I mean, wait, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll give more love to L'Académie because I know so many chefs around this city also just when they need an extra hand, give you guys a ring. All right. This is Nikki Nellis and David Hagedorn for Foodie and the Beast. When we get back, we're going to talk about your cooking skills. We'll be right back.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Sometimes I worry about what would happen to my family if I lost my job. But I never really thought about what would happen to them if they lost me and I didn't have life insurance. My cousin's husband died, and now she might have to sell her house just to make ends meet. I don't ever want to put my wife through that. So I called Matrix Direct.
Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. If you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $16 a month. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-588-5514.
I feel so much better now that I called.
It only takes 5 minutes to see how you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-588-5514. 1-800-588-5514.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. We're having so much fun in studio. We're digging into those watermelon balls. I don't like saying that on air, but they're delicious.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Of course you do. Well, so back to L'Académie de Cuisine. You said holiday classes are like your biggest one. Yes. Why?
Well, come the holidays, there's a lot of entertaining and everybody provides food. There's always food, whether you're going somewhere and people are making it for you or you have to make it and bring it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of food that's involved. So there's classes where we provide ideas and people get ideas from them or they just come to learn so they can get better and host their own party.
And who do you find your students are? I mean, is it everybody from people who really enjoy cooking and can cook to people who are like, oh my God, I can't even do rice?
I mean,
is it everybody?
Yes, everybody.
You have a broad spectrum.
We have everyone coming, including we have kids classes and teens classes.
I would bet those are huge classes right now.
Yeah, right now we are about to finish our long summer of cooking camps for kids and teens. So next week is our last week. But yeah, the kids are very involved. The teens love to cook.
Well, everybody's watching Food Network.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to get on.
Yeah. And cooking has skipped a generation, you know, of all these prepared foods that our parents grew up with. And they, you know, my mother was a good cook, but couldn't pass down those skills to their children because they were raised serving frozen food and all of that. And now people want to get back into cooking.
You're exactly right.
That's where you come in.
Yes.
Well, so now we were talking off air about your chef series.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We typically have guest chefs that come in across. They're either traveling teachers. We also have what I'd like to develop is guest chefs from the D.C. area. A lot of them are graduates.
Is Katsuya a graduate?
Katsuya is a graduate of L'Académie de Cuisine.
I didn't know that.
Yay!
Oh, yay.
And speaking of guest chefs, he's going to be one of them. And the idea behind it is to have these chefs come in and teach what they want regarding their restaurant, kind of the ins and outs of the restaurant for the home cook.
Well, that's a great opportunity for people who really want to learn with a chef, you know, because I think that FaceTime with a chef, people who are really into the food world but aren't in it kind of want that. They want to feel like they're a part of it.
Right. And it gives their food a polished look.
Right.
You know, at the end, that it's really not so difficult to acquire. To achieve.
And it highlights the big thing is to highlight their restaurant and it's something that they really want to show off.
No, I totally agree with you. All right. We only have a couple minutes left. So tell us a couple of the big ticket items that we absolutely cannot miss because your classes do sell out quickly.
Yes, they do.
And that schedule is coming out in just a few days.
Yes, it is. One of our biggest is our holiday great dinner, which is presented by my father, Francois Diano. It starts with a small order of reception, and then it is everyone's moved into the kitchen in our Gaithersburg school and sits down at tables while it's very much like the chef's table in a restaurant. So they are in the kitchen watching the dinner be prepared by my father, and then afterwards there's a Q&A. They can ask questions and stuff. But it's a very long, delicious menu. I just finalized it on Friday. So that's big. And then just, again, our holiday classes and our big is knife skills, cupcakes, cake decorating, a lot of the decorating.
And cupcake cocktails,
cupcake,
I see.
Cupcake cocktails, yes.
Cupcake cocktails, what does that mean?
Those are cupcakes designed after cocktails, like a strawberry daiquiri or a pina colada.
But I wonder if the cupcakes. Red Velvet people are listening. Very cool. Now, you brought in one other dish. We should just absolutely point it out. What did you make over there?
This is, again, from Virginia Willis, Bon Appetit, y'all. It's
One of my favorite cookbooks.
It's a great cookbook.
And one of my favorite chefs.
And she's a graduate of L'Académie as well.
We love Virginia Willis.
Yay. this is a heirloom tomato tartine. It's basically because heirloom tomatoes are in season right now.
And
so,
they're gorgeous.
Just take French bread. There's a very small base of tapenade that it's homemade. And then you just dice the tomatoes, salt them, and put it on top. And it's just, it really brings out just the tomato.
I'm getting hungry. I'm ready to eat.
There's enough.
It's time. I know, they're beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing everything in.
Thank you.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you, your website?
Website is www.lacademy.com. We are in Bethesda, Wilson Lane. And the book will be coming out in just a couple weeks, and the check online starting tomorrow.
All right, everybody, keep posted. Thank you both so much for coming in. We can't wait. All right, Mike, we're going to get back to you. This wine was, it was like eating a piece of meat. It was just delicious. It was so satisfying.
I love when a wine smells like meat, and you're right.
You know?
This is like baked cherries, bacon, spices. Long, long finish. And I was mentioning to you on the break that this wine was actually an accident because I had another bottle of wine that broke on the
way. In your car?
As I was picking the wine out of my car last night, I broke it. So this wine actually came right from my cellar.
We feel really thankful now. My goodness.
Well, I hope you're enjoying it and having a good time with it.
It would be rude of us not to drink all of it.
No, absolutely. We're going to have to drink the whole thing. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So But I think it's ripe, got a wonderful long finish. It's complex, kind of like an independent film, you know. It kind of makes you happy, it makes you sad.
Right.
At the end, you fall in love with all the characters, and you know, you feel good about yourself. So.
I love that. That is the best analogy I've ever heard when it comes to a bottle of wine. I think that's terrific.
I might have to appropriate that.
Yes, I think you're going to. David's tweeting it as we speak. Let me ask you, as the wine director of the hotel, how do you work with both the restaurant and guests coming in for, let's say, a wedding or things of that nature, and assist them with wine?
I love to connect with guests. A lot of times, you know, we don't have your classic, you go to a hotel, you know, and they have a big banquet wine list. Mm-hmm. We don't. I want people to talk to me.
Okay.
I love talking to people on the phone, face to face. Tell me what you love to drink. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what? I want to spend $50 a bottle, and that's my total budget. That's it. No problem. Let me find you what you love to drink.
Okay.
Tell me if you like a red, you like a white, you like
so no
a dry,
judgment. Like you don't judge.
Not at all.
Because I think some people feel, you know, if you lowball a price, that there's judgment. You know, people are like, ugh.
I think the only judgment is, and I think every sommelier would say this, is when someone is not honest with what they like.
Right.
When someone says, you know what, they kind of beat around the price. You know, I don't care. You want to spend $1,000 ahead? Great.
Great.
Wait,
let me say that again. Great.
Great. But at the same time, if you say, you know what, this is my budget. I can only spend this amount per person, $40, $50, whatever it is.
You say, you know, great.
I'm happy to help you, but I appreciate someone who's honest. You know, I appreciate that. And I think they do too.
Right.
And I think that goes for any restaurant you go to. Just say, listen, this is my budget. I love to drink wine. Can you help me?
Excellent.
And someone will take care of you.
We really appreciate you coming in today. You brought absolutely delicious wines. Everybody should please go see Mike at the Jefferson Hotel and ask for him because he was pouring delicious ones in studio today. And I have to give a shout out because I did not thank our sponsors earlier. And my engineer, Andy, prompted me. David Nellis will be so happy. So I have to do the sponsor roll call because it's important. We need to thank Georgetown Bagelry because they always provide us with magnificent bagels and coffee. And Neighborhood Restaurant Group, their restaurants, Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion,
love,
Buzz,
love, lots of love,
Birch and Barley, and Church Key. Thank you all so much. Founding Farmers, Farmers and Fishers, Noti Bianchi, Dish, Circle Bistro, and Charles Schwartz and Son. We have a jeweler who advertises.
Gorgeous.
Which I love. I should be bedecked,
but
I'm not.
You got all your jewelry on.
I got all my jewelry on. And, of course, Bethesda Central Farm Market. They are open for another hour, so when the show is over, you should race down there because we saw lots of people there today picking up their heirloom tomatoes and their bison burgers. Lots of great vendors and lots of good treats.
And tell Mitch Berliner we said hi.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Mitch Berliner, great guy, called in last week. There's always good stuff going on there. Okay, very quickly, we only have a couple minutes left, so we want to thank all our guests today. First and foremost, I have to thank my very special co-host, David Hagedorn, who did such a fabulous job.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. You are welcome here anytime. And we want to thank our guests, Michael Scafidi. Did I say it right?
You did.
Oh, my God. Yay. Dr. Mike Fenster, Clarice Dionneau, Aaron Gordon, and Chef Katsuya, all in studio with us today promoting fabulous restaurants, fabulous cooking schools, healthy eating, and of course, excellent ways to drink wine. We have an incredible show next week. We're going to be talking about cheese with the guys from Firefly and
Amazing Cheese.
Amazing Cheese. And Sloop Betty Vodka is going to be in studio. We're going to be getting loopy with Sloop Betty.
Loopy with Sloopy.
Excellent. This is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. You have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual.